copies of this little catechism on confession. And it's imprimatur is from the Most Reverend Fabian Roskowitz. I highly endorse it. Our present conference will be till 11:15, when there will be time for confessions. The second article of the Creed: I believe in Jesus Christ, His only Son, our Lord. Our faith as Christians depends on our faith in the second person of the Holy Trinity becoming man. Our focus in this meditation will be to briefly reflect on four terms, namely Jesus, Christ, Son of God, and our Lord. The name Jesus, as we know, goes back to the Old Testament. In the New Testament, there are two events that identify who Jesus is: the Annunciation of Our Lady and the revelation by the angel to Saint Joseph. At the Annunciation, the angel Gabriel appeared to Our Lady and told her first, "Hail, full of grace." No other translation of the Greek is Catholic. Mary is full of grace. Then the angel told her, "You are to conceive and bear a son, and must name him Jesus." After Our Lady had conceived, Joseph, wondering how Mary was with child. Remember, being obedient to the Jewish law and to spare Mary's reputation, he was going to put her away quietly. He was told, "Do not put away Mary. She has conceived by the power of the Holy Spirit." And then Joseph was told, Mary had been told that the child she would conceive and give birth to would be Jesus. But Joseph was told why the name would be Jesus. Because he is the one who is to save his people from their sins. In other words, the word Jesus, from the Hebrew Yeshua, means Savior. Yahweh therefore became man to save the human race. Save the human race from the consequence of man's sin. as we've said before, and I will keep repeating, every sin always, in that center, always has two consequences. Every sin always deprives the sinner of grace. And every sin always incurs a debt of suffering. Deprivation of grace incurs a debt of suffering. They are the divinely revealed, built-in consequences of sin. For what then is the Son of God become man? To save us. To save us from the consequences of having lost grace. In the language that I spoke as a child at home, Slav. The word for grace is love. Christ therefore saves us from the consequences of having lost more or less of God's love. And his created manifestation of the love for us, his grace. Over the years, I'm never tired of repeating the Old Testament saying, God speaking. Ego didigo, dirigentes me. I love those who love me. Does God love every human being? Yes. Does God love every human being equally? No. And the measure of God's love, first of all, depends on his own divine will. Does God love fleas? Does God love mosquitoes? Does he love the birds? Yes. Otherwise, it wouldn't exist. Does God love us more than the fleas or the bees or the birds? Yes. God is God. But the second and crucial measure of God's love for us is our human responsive love for Him. And that's what sin is. Sin is a refusal to love God. In the measure that we sin, we fail in our love for God. Jesus is therefore Savior to save us, first of all, from the consequences of our sin by losing grace. By doing what? Restoring us to the grace we had lost by sinning. And secondly, is Jesus Savior by saving us from the suffering, the pain, the debt that we have incurred by our sins. So much for the name Jesus. Now, I believe in Jesus Christ. As we know, the English word Christ is simply an abbreviation of the Greek word Christos, spelt the same way, Christ, except in OS at the end. And it means the Anointed One. In Hebrew, Mashiach, or the English equivalent, Messiah. Messiah and Christ are identical words. What do we mean? And this is the focus of our retreat. What do we mean by what we believe? What do we mean when we say that Jesus is Christ? Jesus is the Anointed One. In the Old Testament, as we know, priests, prophets, and kings were anointed. In what sense was Jesus anointed? His humanity was anointed with the divinity. We cannot begin to comprehend, but as we said in our last conference, we better understand and grow in understanding. Jesus was anointed in his human nature with a divinity. And maybe Christ as man to be not just a prophet, a priest, a king, but the prophet, the priest, the king of the whole world. A prophet, by definition, is one who profanely, who speaks out, who reveals. Reveals what? Reveals the mind of God. Reveals truth. And Christ said, I am the truth. He meant that literally. In his human nature, Jesus was united with a divinity. And consequently, this is a retreat and not a theological lecture. Consequently, everything which Jesus, now Christ, taught us, everything he told us is the unqualifying, unquestionable truth. When he told us in his Sermon on the Mount, if a man even looks at a woman lustfully, he has already committed with her adultery in his heart. That is the truth. Only God knows how many Americans still believe that. Including, how sad to admit it, many Catholics, priests, and I have to keep adding, and some bishops. The word Christ, we say, means the Anointed One. Christ's humanity was anointed with the divinity. Therefore, Jesus is the high priest, anointed with the priesthood. In other words, I'm teaching my own Jesuits their theology, or even lecturing to priests. In getting last fall a retreat to a large number of priests in the Archdiocese of New York. Every month, a group of priests, at least 7, here in Chicago, they have a time set, they fax me their questions, and their hard-hitting questions. And my job then is, at the appointed time, I do my best to answer their questions. They object, I do no answering. They still object, I do no answering. And there is one thing that I tell priests. Your priesthood means you are men appointed by God, ordained by Christ to sacrifice. In the language of all religions of the human race, a priest is the one who sacrifices. Clearly, Christ ordained priests. When, at the Last Supper, what words did Jesus use to ordain the apostles and their successors priests? Hear it. The words, "Do this in commemoration of me." And that, by the way, is the only correct translation. "Do this in memory of me" is, I hate to say it, a mistranslation. But thank God, Pope Paul VI published a solemn document that, with the vernacular, a liturgy may say, it is never the meaning of the vernacular, hear it, is always the meaning of the original Latin. Christ was therefore a priest to offer sacrifice. But he became man in order to sacrifice what? Or sacrifice whom? Himself. And I know I'm sure you've heard many times, we define sacrifice as the surrender of something precious to God. 3 terms. Surrender. 2nd term, something precious. 3rd term, to God. That's why God became man. My birth had a human body and soul that could separate and cause his death. But more important, that he might have a new will. There is no sacrifice unless there is voluntary giving up. That is why God became man, that he might have both a human body and soul that could separate and thus cause his death, and might have a human will. Over the years, how many people have asked, sometimes in audience, how many wills did Christ have? follow to how many? How many figures do I see? How many? You better say two. Otherwise, you would be Nestorian heretics. The main reason God became man was to assume a human will and both teach us how we are to use our human wills and provide us with the grace we need, hereby sacrificing his will to the Father, meriting for us the strength we need to submit all our wills to God. Jesus is, we say, Christ. Prophet, to teach the truth. Priest, to offer himself with a human will to his Heavenly Father and King. As King, Christ has the authority to govern, the authority to direct, and the authority to both reward and punish. How we need, we Catholics, how we need to realize that Christ is our King. And there is one statement I want you to memorize. The Catholic Church is not a democracy. Christianity is not democratic. Christianity, in the deepest sense of the word, is monarchical. Christ, in speaking of the Church, only twice in the Gospel, uses in the original Greek, ecclesia, Church. His most frequently used name for the Church is Basileia, Kingdom. There is one person, a divine person, who has assumed a new nature, who is our King. And having the right to command us, having a right to govern us, having a right to both reward and punish us, what's our responsibility? What else? Except to obey. Third of the four terms that we are reflecting on in the second article of the Creed, Son of God. The Apostles' Creed wisely places the profession of faith in Jesus as the Son of God before going on to declare he was born of the Virgin Mary. No single mystery of Christianity had been more widely and militantly opposed than the unqualifying divinity of the Son of Mary. I spent 8 days in the wine and milk, teaching the community, founded by St. Peter Nolasco. They were founded by St. Peter Nolasco, 1280, to do what? To deliver Christians from being enslaved. Those who were enslaved by the Moors, the Muslims. There are now some 900 million Muslims throughout the world. And the largest Muslim center of the United States is Detroit, Michigan. The bedrock of Islam, its foundation, is the denial that Jesus, the Ibn Maryam, the son of Mary, is the Ibn Allah, the son of God. And Islam has been powerfully influential in shaping, or dare I say, reshaping the minds of millions of once-believing Christians. In the Quran, Muhammad could not be clearer. Every Christian is an idolater. Every Christian adores a man as though he were God. Step number one, this is the Quran. Try to convert these idolaters from their adoring the man Jesus as though he were God. If you don't succeed in converting him, enslave him. If he still resists, then kill him. Most of the martyrs of the Catholic Church in the 2,000 years of the Church's history, most of the martyrs have been murdered by Muslims. The birthday of Islam is 622 A.D. As I've said to some of you, more than once. In the Sudan alone, in the 50s of this century, over 2 million Catholics were starved to death by the Muslims. You'll never read that in the Chicago Tribune. In Africa, which is a strong Muslim continent, persecuting Christians as they have never been persecuted in the 2 millennia of Christian history. Africa, hear it and don't forget, is the fastest growing Christian continent in the world. I would like to say this, quoting from the early century maxim, the blood of martyrs is the sea of Christians. Salvis martyrum est semen Christianorum. church grows, hear it. And once more, don't forget. The church grows in the measure that she has martyrs. Am I still clear? I've said this before, and I repeat, what cowards we Catholics can be. Martyrdom of blood, what joy if that would be our privilege. But really, martyrs, the only Catholics that were alive into and beyond the 20th century are those who are living the lives of martyrs. A martyr is one who witnesses to Christ as the Son of God and pays dearly, comma dearly, comma very dearly for his witness. And we're all scared. The final fourth title, which the Creed gives to the incarnate God, is our Lord. Can there be any question that Jesus Christ is our Lord? Deprived we are, we who speak the English language. I said more than once, when the latest Webster's and Abridged Dictionary was being published, the editors, after millions of dollars spent, years of research, decided and declared it is no longer possible to publish an English dictionary which defines the meaning of a single word. The English-speaking world is globally confused. That is why those of us working on the catechism of the Catholic Church beg the Holy Father to not leave the catechism of the Catholic Church and the vernacular. Make sure there will be an authentic, unqualified Latin text due, maybe by the end of spring, at least by the early summer of this year. What is the word Lord in Latin? Dominus. The last thing that people want is to be, now an English word, to be dominated. Oh no! Are you telling us we are to be dominated? Sorry, my friends. Yes. Oh, how brainwashed the Americans have become. We believe, we say, in Jesus Christ, the Son of God, our Lord. My secretary in Detroit, she smiled when she said it. She was at the computer and I was, well, telling her what to compute. And she pointed, "Father, you are a dictator." What we've done with the English verb dictate. I hope I'm making sense. Dear Lord, He is our God, the Creator of the universe. Can we dare to question His right to tell us what to do? And hardest of all, as our Lord, He has a right to tell us even how to think. Am I serious? As our Lord, because He is God, He sustains us and the whole world by His loving omnipotence. This God, whom we identified as our Creator, never say, "When God created," past tense. God continues creating every time a child is conceived. God creates an immortal soul out of nothing. And as the language goes, infuses that immortal soul into the, what we call, the fertilized womb. At the moment of conception, there has been an act of almighty creation. He's our Lord, because having created us, past tense, He continues providing us with the means we need. Talk about being dependent on God. For how many minutes can a human being survive without breathing? About how many minutes? 5 minutes? Maybe. A strong body might survive for 6 minutes. God continues providing the air without which we would die in body. God continues providing us with the grace we need to remain alive in our souls in the state of God's friendship. Grace for the soul is what the air is for the body. Talk about being our Lord. Talk about providing us with our needs. Jesus Christ, the Son of God, is our Lord because He governs the whole universe, including our own personal lives every moment of our day and night. We'll come back to this again, as over the years some of you have heard many times. The verb to happen, or the noun chance, is not in God's vocabulary. Everything, and it was everything, every moment, is part of God's providence.